You're listening to Archer Radio.
This is Archer from ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queercast on the internet. This show is being recorded on Sunday, January 1st, 2006. We record a show on Monday, as you heard, and this show is being is for you on Wednesday. And I hope that you enjoyed the video from yesterday of our New Year's Eve. You saw it. We had some friends there, and we had dinner, and we showed the preparations and stuff. And with us, my co-host again today is the boyfriend. Want to say hello, boyfriend?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, boyfriend. Excuse me. Now, we actually have two topics to discuss today. One is how gay men do not RSVP on time. And the other topic is we want to give the listeners an update on the Katrina damage, because you went home to New Orleans over the holidays and you saw a lot of things, and you're going to give us your impressions of New Orleans today. Which one would you like to start with? Your choice.
Well, let's start with Hurricane Katrina.
All right. So, I should just let the boyfriend talk, because he's the one who experienced it all.
Yes. Well, I went down there to visit home. My parents had the first floor of their home damaged by water.
Right.
And they were able to get their repairs finished the day before I arrived. They've been working on it since September.
And how pleased was your mother that she was able to get that done before the holidays?
My mom has Christmas at her house every year, and it's very important. Christmas is a big deal for her. So she was working very hard to get the house in shape. They still didn't have furniture.
Right. Because they had to order furniture. It's going to take a month or so, right?
Well, it actually came in Friday.
Oh, okay. But you came back Thursday, so you can get to see it.
Yeah. But the bathroom had just been completed. They had to get a new bathtub, new everything, toilet, everything.
And that's the bathroom that your parents have with their bedroom on the first floor?
No, I guess you would call it a guest bathroom.
Oh, guest bathroom, okay.
Their bathroom was changed too. Their
master bathroom.
Everything downstairs.
Right, okay.
So, but the neighborhood is just one big mess. It's like everyone's in FEMA trailers. My parents didn't need a FEMA trailer because they had an upstairs that was okay, so they could live upstairs. But I would say maybe a block or two behind their home, it's just terrible. I mean, it's blown off roofs and busted out windows from high winds and flood water from 2 to 4 feet, I guess, the closer you get to the canal. Some homes were just completely destroyed by 120 mile an hour winds.
Right.
It's just bricks just on the ground. I mean, it's just, there's just nothing left. And of course, they were interested in the final report from the Weather Service that said Katrina was a high category 3 or borderline 4.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Well, no, but the report said that some areas probably experienced category 4 wind conditions. And so a friend of my sister's who works at a plant, Monsanto plant, maybe 5 miles from where she lives, he had to stay at the plant during the hurricane. They had a wind gauge, but it's an unofficial wind gauge.
Of course, yeah.
But they had sustained winds of 131 miles an hour with a gust to 175.
And how far from downtown New Orleans was that? Like 10 miles?
It's probably maybe 15 miles.
Oh, and they had that high of winds, yeah. 15 miles away.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that plant was, it was severely wind damaged, obviously. It had sheared off the tops of these metal silos. The home behind my sister's house was completely
destroyed.
Blown away by winds. The house next door, the roof flew off, so they had everyone has roof damage. It's nothing but blue tarps.
That's why the famous FEMA blue.
Right. And so then we drove, but at least they have electricity. And there are traffic lights, and some of the supermarkets are starting to open. There's a Piggly Wiggly that's open, and then there's a Walmart that's open. So,
but now on that Friday that you got home, you were planning to do an anniversary party for your parents, and wasn't it difficult to find the foods that you wanted to cook?
Well, it was, and we ended up going to a Walmart to get groceries, and we wanted to get a cake to surprise them because they, for their anniversary, they were eating MREs.
Right.
So we're going to get them a cake because they made 45 years this year. And so we got a cake. Our assistant, Phyllis.
The lady at the store.
Spelled anniversary wrong.
How did she spell it?
Oh, I don't know. A-N-N-I-V-E-R-S-Y. Anniversary.
Oh, God.
But what do you mean? None of the bakeries. I mean, there are no stores open. I mean, there were bakeries there that were open, but they were destroyed by the hurricane, or some people decided they were not going to come back, or they haven't come back. Like a lot of the there's a florist shop in the area in their community that was blown down. Even the Wendy's. It looks like a hand grenade was tossed in the door and. I mean, parts of that area just looks like Dresden after World War II.
Now, when you were flying into the city, what you were telling me that you, well, first of all, you saw the FEMA blue on everybody's roof.
Well, everything looked crooked. Like the street lights were bent forward. The telephone poles were crooked. Street signs were twisted to the ground.
Had you ever seen anything like that before in your life?
No. And I've been through some hurricanes, but nothing like that. Like some homes, like the front of the house looked like someone took a giant fist smashed the front of it, and the back was fine.
Oh, that's weird.
It's weird. Just bizarre wind damage. And then, some homes, like the roof blew. When the windows blow in, the roof
lifts up,
but the homes were blown off their foundations, so the roof settled on top of the house but the structure had been moved off of the slab. The Dr. Seuss villages,
very
everything's crooked and twisted.
And then
on Christmas Day, my parents gave me the tour of the hardest hit areas. They got like the flooding and the storm surge and all of that, and that's just depressing.
And you were able to drive,
there's no one on the road, there's no one living there, there's no electricity, no street lights, completely just
now,
dark
to give brown. people like a point of reference, where in the city were you able to go?
Well, we started uptown St. Charles Avenue, away from Audubon Zoo, like away from Magazine Street. So if you go on, coming up Napoleon Avenue toward St. Charles Avenue, from St. Charles Avenue toward the lake and east and west, all of that was just destroyed. By wind and water.
You get to the downtown, like where the Superdome is or anything like that?
They've repaired the roof of the dome. We did go to some downtown areas. A lot of downtown has been repaired, but there's no one there.
I think it's, at least from the news and things you see on TV, it seems like the only area that's really come back is the French Quarter.
Well, because that wasn't really... That was the least damaged.
I know, but I mean, in terms of comeback, in terms of people are back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, were you?
But the flooded out areas are just—you could see the water lines beyond the roofs, and I guess the spookiest part was the markings on the door, on the buildings.
Yeah.
How many people they found inside? Some as high as six. And whether they found cats, dogs.
Ooh, they had those markings,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Two cats.
I'm assuming dead cats.
Dead. Yeah.
Now, you were explaining to me about that the local newspaper had put out this graphic, mm-hmm. showing circles, and each colored circle or each size circle meant a certain amount of people. You want to explain that to us?
Well, because there are a lot of people missing and a lot of bodies unidentified. The confirmed dead right now is 1,300, including Mississippi and Florida. But in Louisiana, there are 6,000 still missing. So the paper did a graphic where bodies have been found and identified. I guess to help people who are still looking for loved ones or whatever. And there is not one part, even where my parents live,
that isn't hit by one of those little circles.
At least, I think in their area, and that was considered minimal on where they live as far as death toll, but it's 5 to 10 people killed. And that wasn't, the flooding wasn't that bad. So this is like homes that collapsed or roofs that collapsed.
And the people were in the buildings.
They were inside. They didn't leave. Where my sister lives, well, this where this place that got the 130 mile an hour winds, over 20 people were killed. It's all wind related.
Because of, But now you also mentioned that there were circles that showed the number 100.
100
plus. People, 100 plus people died in this
in
little,
these particular areas.
Little area. Wow.
Yeah, so we went along the lake area. It was just odd to see like boats from the lake blown
up on
like,
land
on the road.
Yeah.
Cars that were where they were when the hurricane hit, like in the parking lot of the blown out Wendy's,
and hadn't moved.
Had moved and just brown from water.
Right.
And then we got to Chalmette, which is in. That's where you get to that Ninth Ward area, and you couldn't go beyond.
They're still not letting people in?
No, you had to turn around.
Wow.
And I think that's where they're going to find a lot more of the dead bodies. They haven't been in some of those homes.
Still, 4 months later.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about the future for your... I mean, you grew up there. What do you think about the future for New Orleans?
I think it's pretty bleak.
I'm thinking pretty bleak, too, considering the low amount of funding that they've gotten from the government, and it's been 4 months, and not a whole lot has happened in 4 months.
8 schools are open.
Out of hundreds. Mm-hmm. That's a sad, sad case.
Well, but people don't even know. A lot of it has to do with bureaucratic red tape, deciding if their homes can be... A lot of folks who have evacuated are waiting to hear if their home is going to be demolished, or if they can rebuild it. Just up the street, maybe 3 houses down from my parents. She is handicapped. Her home has to be totaled. Apparently, when the storm surge hit, it like all the pipes, everything just backed up. I guess just the force of it. Of this water going through pipes and canals and whatever.
Destroyed her plumbing?
It destroyed her slab. It cracked a slab of her house. And the water shot up through her toilets and sinks. And
oh my God. Where is she staying in a trailer outside on her?
Yeah, she's got a FEMA trailer. She has mold from floor to ceiling.
See, this
the slab
is
cracked and the roof.
That's what I can't imagine as a person who has an experience in this. I can't imagine that, like, in these people's front yard, that the land that they own with their destroyed house on it, they're living in a trailer that's parked right on their own land. That's so sad.
It's that's the landscape.
I hope 2006 is better for them.
I do too, but it's just dark brown, black. There is not one green blade of no birds.
No,
that's what
birds.
I noticed. You didn't hear birds.
Why?
Because the hurricane destroyed the ecosystems. They don't have any nests. But my brother-in-law, who's like a hunter, the ducks apparently are like closer to, because the marsh ecosystems have been destroyed.
So they're coming in.
So the ducks are flying south, but they're staying closer inland
to get food.
And so they're shooting all
the
ducks.
Oh my God. That's so sad. And did that totally, because you haven't, you, this was the first time you had been home since July, I think it was.
Yeah.
Did it totally depress you?
Well, I knew what I was going to see. I was glad that my parents survived the experience at their home. I mean, they had a lot of damage, but it was a minor headache compared to what other people are going through.
Right.
And, you know, they had the financial resources to help themselves, so they weren't dependent on getting insurance settlements. Most people don't even have insurance settlements, so they're just watching the mold eat up the walls or
while they're waiting
living in the FEMA trailer,
yeah.
And they can't do anything.
So your parents are in a very good situation to be in terms of that.
Yeah, but it's empty. I mean, the city is empty.
Now, I don't remember. Your father's retired, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does your mother work? I don't remember.
Well, they both have like side jobs.
Temp jobs,
they do to
yeah.
keep themselves. My dad doesn't really have hobbies.
Just to keep busy.
Yeah.
And they're not back at those yet?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, they are. That's good.
Yeah, but my dad works for a man. He does inventory. My dad does inventory.
Nothing
management
major.
Or something.
Okay, yeah.
Well, it's my dad's a businessman, and so this is, and he's
it's really
he's anal retentive, so this is perfect for him.
It's really just to keep him busy.
Keep him busy, and he can like organize things.
Oh yeah.
But so this he works with this guy whose his home was destroyed in the hurricane. So he's been doing a lot of the work that this guy can't do.
Oh, that's nice of him. Well, let's. What do you think about moving on to another subject? Do you feel like you've covered that well?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to bring up this whole topic of gay men and how... I don't know if we've talked about this before. Do you think we've talked about this idea before, that gay men cannot make up their mind in terms of gatherings, parties, whatever, that they wait... Well, not wait till the last minute. Well, some do. But don't even respond to, you know, invitations?
Well,
and it's just like
I assume that if I'm going to have like a dinner party, because I don't do big parties very
right.
well, but you know I like having dinner parties and I can sit six people around my table. I know. Well, here's the difference: if I decide to invite heterosexual people,
right,
I have no problems getting people to say 3 weeks ahead of time
that they will attend.
Sue and I will be there and they'll show up.
Right.
So I know that if I'm going to have straight couples, I'd better decide early enough because they're going to commit and they're, unless they get, like one of their kids gets sick, they're going to be there.
Right.
If I'm going to have just gay people, like gay men,
yes,
I know I had better invite 10.
Because how many will show up?
7 might commit in a timely fashion. Of the 7, 5 might show up.
Well, I guess I could bring this up because...
And then 5 might show up, but then one might say, oh, a friend has decided to come along, or...
Okay.
So I have like an extra plate or something.
So you easily plan for 6.
You have to be a little more flexible. You have to use pencil when you're getting your confirmations.
But the question is, why are gay men so... You know, why don't they commit? Why are they so...
Well, maybe we can't say it's gay men. Maybe we should just say it's living in a large city. There are a lot of activities.
Well, yeah.
People's calendars get filled. And, you know, I used to think, well, I can't... Well, I still say this. I can't compete against a house party on New Year's Eve.
Well, true. But the caliber of people that you invite aren't necessarily the house, clubhouse, whatever.
No, but if someone's going to have... If someone who lives in a townhouse in DuPont Circle or a big condo in DuPont Circle is going to have a house party with a bar and serving I've gone to a couple of these parties when I've been invited to them. I mean I can't compete against that. So
because yours is a quieter affair.
It's
with
quiet
with a meal.
I do it all.
Right.
I don't have any help. I don't hire caterers or anything.
Except for me.
That's true. and you get your little spanky poos when you don't follow directions.
He will just open up that door from the kitchen into the dining room, look at me and say, get the red wine glasses or
now
pour the Cabernet Sauvignon.
I didn't tell you to open the Merlot.
And then he says, like, is everyone done with their Cab Franc? Rush them along. We've got the next wine going.
Did you aerate the Cabernet Sauvignon?
Open it up now. It's got to breathe for a good 30 minutes.
No, but anyway. I take my cues from Martha Stewart.
Back to the whole issue. I just don't understand gay men. And what, for example, I think that, if I remember correctly, roughly 9 to 11 people were invited to the New Year's
Day. I invited 10 people.
10 people.
I knew half that number would end up showing up.
Well, counting us, there were only 5.
Yeah.
So you were counting us in that 10?
No, plus us, that would have been 12.
10. Well, maybe 12, okay.
I don't know.
But I just think that's, I just think that's rude. I just think it's, I know, I'm sure it's probably typical queen behavior, but I just think it's rude.
I'm just used to it. It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't piss you off anymore?
Well, it would be nice if people would say, well, you know, a nice, well-planned, intimate dinner with, you know,
3 or 4 people? 5 or 6 people?
Yeah, well, again, I mean, if I understand that if a better plan comes along and it's a little more lively and chic than
that, you'll be brushed off for that.
I'm going to be Plan B.
I see. Don't you hate being Plan B?
I've gotten used to
it. Okay. Well, I will say that the crowd that we did have, we had some good conversations.
We did.
We talked politics. We talked religion. We talked education. We even made some plans to visit a winery in January. And I hope that follows the people follow through with that too. But I don't know.
And if not, we will go.
Well, we'll go anyway. That's right. We're going to go anyway. And I will say that, speaking of the wines and the whole winery tours and stuff, that the boyfriend finally mailed off his 2005 Virginia wine passport collection that we did last year. I mailed mine off last week, but the boyfriend mailed his off on Friday, right?
I'm going to crack my knuckles.
I heard one knuckle. He's pushing all of his fingers trying to get a knuckle to crack.
Normally crack my knuckles at will. What have you done to my knuckles?
Now I've heard two. Well, now, Mr. Boyfriend, did you miss me while you were away?
I did miss you.
How much did you miss me?
I missed you so much that I masturbated 3 times a day thinking about you.
Are you serious? No, you're not serious.
I masturbated until I couldn't come anymore.
He's totally making that. Now he's just trying to be...
My penis was raw.
You're being... Is the word salacious?
For my masturbating activities.
Are you being salacious?
I'm being titillating.
Salacious. Oh, you know what? Here's a question for you. What do you think about having your image on the eBay auction?
What about it?
What? How does that make you feel? Like, what do you think?
Sexy.
Really?
Yes.
Because, boys and girls, as you've been hearing, and I know I talked about this many, many times, that I do have my artwork on sale, or, you know, at least auctioned on eBay, and I now have my own eBay page. It's Art by Archer, and currently there are 4 pieces of artwork up for auction, and they are much better than the pieces that were up there before, so I suggest you check them out. If you click on that link on the right side of the page, you will go directly to my art page. And one of the pieces of artwork on there is the boyfriend. And I guess he doesn't have an issue with it.
Not at all.
Not at all. Hmm. What do you think about, like, people you know seeing it?
They have seen it.
And what? But
no, they've seen the artwork. You've,
like, the people at the dinner party, had they seen it?
I've had friends who have seen the nude photos you've done of me.
And they think they didn't...
Including the... already enlarged photographs, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean. What are you talking about? The originals, you mean?
What are you talking? Ones in which my private areas are already enlarged.
Who has seen those?
Several friends have seen them.
On my website?
Yeah. I've directed them to go there.
Oh, you told
with
them.
With a word of caution.
Caution, I have a major erection in these pictures?
Yes.
Any females have been to this website?
Not that I know
okay,
of.
Okay, so mostly just gay men. Huh. Very interesting. Well, as long as you don't mind it, I'm going to milk you as much as I can.
Like I said, my penis is going to get us some plane tickets.
I'm really hoping to... I opened up a checking account just for the artwork, and I'm hoping to save enough money from the eBay auctions to buy a plane ticket to get to New Orleans for spring break. That's actually what my ultimate goal is. So, go to eBay and auction or bid on my artwork.
Archer pimps me out.
I do. Now, you know, we've had some comments on the website lately. Have you been checking out the comments? I think you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. I'm having some...
Oh, that's horrible. Some gas issues.
I'm having some...
What else is new?
Godino Merlot, and it's very good. On the... I'm going to mention the comments. On the New Year's... I posted a little New Year's post on the... on the website. We heard from Michael, and he says, Happy New Year, Archer. Can't wait for the first 2006 podcast. Happy New Year to the boyfriend, too. Did you see that?
Happy New Year to you, too.
And then we heard from Tigger, too.
Tigger.
Happy New Year, Archer. I agree. Let's make 2006 better than last year. Thank you for that comment, Tigger. And I have to mention that Tigger also left us a comment about how they're using computers to... remember that article I printed out for you? He gave us a link to the article about high-tech wine selection and stuff. So, Tigger, thank you for the article I printed out, and the boyfriend read it, and it's very interesting. And then we had comments from Michael, and he says, Thanks for a great 9 months of shows, Archer. Happy New Year, and may next year bring you even more happiness, love, sex, laughter, joy, and great wine. Thank you, Michael. And Lee from Pikesville, Maryland, says, sorry to hear that you haven't been feeling well, only because my indigestion was really bad last week, but this week it's fine. He says,
yes, the enema helped.
Honey, don't lie like that.
I'm not. We've got a Fleet Oil enema. I helped you with it.
Oh my God, no. That is not true. Don't even go there.
Well,
so anyway, Lee
goes, I'd like to know where all that Crisco oil went.
All that cooking I did.
Yeah, really. Lee, in your own thermal...
What?
Thermal crevice.
You are so...
Your own little warm area.
You're so gross. So Lee goes on to say...
That's how I roasted the pork.
Oh my God. Lee goes on to say, I think it's not because of what you have been eating, but because the boyfriend is not there to take care of you and make you eat your veggies.
That's the truth. That's why I had to come here with a Fleet Oil enema. I had to take care of him.
Thank you, Lee, from Pikesville, Maryland.
And boy, did he run.
And then we got a nice long, comment from Jimmy in China. He says, thanks for the great shows in 2005, Archer. I could remember how excited I am when I listening... Okay, remember his broken English. When I'm listening to Archer Radio for the first time, I acquainted a lot of things that I never heard before, which really helped me a lot to understand the great life in America, more concretely, gays' life in your culture. Honestly, I am a gay too, but gay people in my culture lead a very bad life, which hurt me a lot. Many gay people fall in love with each other, but they can't let their friends or relatives know the truth that they are gay. Because in China, gay people could continue their love only under the guise of friendship, and something about gays' love, of course, cannot show in public. If you did that, means the ending of your love. Jimmy is... I think he's really young, but he knows a lot. Maybe it's really a little bit improper to tell you such things in the end of 2005, but hope you don't mind what I said. Not at all, Jimmy. I think it's great. Anyway, wish you Happy New Year, Jimmy from China. Thank you, Jimmy. I really hope things do get better in China for the gays. I hope they get better for the gays in America.
Really?
And then the last comment was from Ekalb, and he says, Happy New Year to Archer and the boyfriend. Thanks for all your time spent in sharing so much. All the best in 2006. Thank you, Ekalb. I appreciate all those comments, boys and girls. And, of course, keep them coming. And, you know, you can call the voice line at 1-206-600-4763. And, actually, someone from the past called and left a comment on the voice line, but I don't think he realized it was for the show.
Really?
Remember?
Yes.
He called thinking that it was my regular voicemail, but it was the show voicemail. So, anyway, it won't be one I'll be playing on the show, but... You know who you are, and Happy New Year to you, too. So, do you have anything else you'd like to say, boyfriend? Because I think we need to end this show. Anything else you'd like to say? He's thinking.
No.
Okay. Well, you'll be back on the show next weekend when we record some more shows, because next weekend we don't have anything to do.
That's right, we don't.
So, we'll record a couple shows next weekend. So, boys and girls, until next time, the boyfriend's going to say...
Goodbye.
Bye, boys and girls.
Bye.
It is Sunday. With shadows I spend it all.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.